My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
C-Suite Radio.
Want Instagrammers and YouTubers to mention your brand? Or do you want to influence an audience to buy your product? I'm Jason Falls, author of the book Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. In this podcast, we explore the people, companies, campaigns, and stories that illustrate the difference between using influencers and actually influencing. Welcome to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Hello again, friends. Thanks for listening to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. If you've heard the term NIL and don't know what it is, you need to. If you haven't heard the term, you've probably been living under a rock. NIL, which is short for Name, Image, Likeness, is the short expression that defines an important legislative move by the NCAA and the NAIA, the two main college athletic associations in the United States. The maneuvers relax the definition of amateurism in those organizations to finally allow college student athletes to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. Until the NAIA passed an NIL move last December and the NCAA followed this past summer, a student athlete taking money from a sponsor, even on social media channels that might have nothing to do with their sport, would be a violation of their amateur status and jeopardize their ability to compete. Now, however, college athletes can be paid for public appearances, profit from merchandise sales of their own apparel, or accept money from companies to do collaborations and partnerships on social media channels. For some, the opportunity is a godsend. For those whose families might not have enough money to send them to college on their own, they rely on scholarships to pay their way. Some may only get partial scholarships and need to supplement them with additional funding. But their class and sports practice, conditioning, and travel schedules prevent many from being able to hold down a regular job to offset some of those expenses. I spent 15 years as a college athletics PR guy and saw many a student athlete who couldn't afford to eat out once or twice a week, much less go to the movies or anything normal college students are doing. They had to rely on the college cafeteria for food and bum rides to get places. So this is a good thing in many, many ways. But it's new and challenging in many others. Masai Russell is a four-time first-team All-American in track and field at the University of Kentucky. She has over 150,000 followers on Instagram and over 21,000 on YouTube. While the track and field part plays a role on both, her content is more focused on fashion and style. She hopes to one day own her own line of apparel. She is an influencer. But until this summer, she could not reap the benefits of having an audience because she's an NCAA athlete. In July, that changed, and now 2 months into the semester, Masai has scored partnerships with Champ Sports and East Bay Women Clothing, plus Betterment, the savings and investment app. I wanted to check in with a student athlete capitalizing on the NIL opportunity to see what, if any, differences there are in how they handle influencer partnerships and see what impact the NIL is having on their day-to-day. I also wanted to gauge if student athletes are seeing this as an opportunity to just make some money, or are thinking more strategically about how NIL can be a platform to build something bigger down the road. So, Masai and I cut up this week to talk NIL and her brand. Before we get to that, let's spend a moment with Meredith Jacobson, an independent influencer marketing consultant who, like me, uses Tagger. It's a complete influencer marketing solution. You can find out more for yourself at jason.online/tagger. When we last left off, she was talking about the power of Tagger's discovery tool in searching for the right influencers, but I wanted to know more about the confidence she has in what creators Tagger recommends.
How confident are you in the information that you're getting about these influencers on Tagger, especially with regard to understanding whether or not you're looking at influencer fraud, fake followers, etc.?
I think it's the first line of defense. And so I appreciate the tools that they have, the ability to filter for brand safety and to see the percentage of authentic and inauthentic audience. And, you know, it's just sort of a nice, it's a nice indicator. I also like the growth metrics of being able to see that a creator is one of the fastest growing, either in a time period or in a category. And I think that's a really strong indication of content health that I certainly trust from Tagger.
I would assume that you would recommend Tagger to other people.
You bet.
Thanks to Meredith for sharing her experiences with Tagger. To start building your own experiences with my influencer marketing software of choice, go to jason.online/tagger today. In the last few episodes, I've been sharing some influencer marketing podcast recommendations with you. Today's influencer marketing podcast recommendation is the Influence Global Podcast. Gordon Glenister hosts it and does a great job of landing and interviewing interesting guests from a variety of industry perspectives. Gordon's background is in running trade associations, so his wide-ranging knowledge and connections make the Influence Global podcast a must download. And he tends to focus on influence marketing from a global perspective, which always brings brilliant ideas to our own reservoir of thinking. To subscribe, just search for Influence Global Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or visit gordonglenister.com. That's Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, Glenister, G-L-E-N-I-S-T-E-R.com. On your marks, get set, go! We're off with Masai Russell, the All-American track and field star from the University of Kentucky, next on WinFluence.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So Masai, for those out there that don't know much about college athletics, take us back to the pre-NIL name, image, likeness days. How difficult was it for a student athlete to earn everything from spending money to sometimes make a livable wage and stay out of trouble with professors and coaches in the NCAA?
So it was, I wouldn't say for me, it wasn't super hard because Kentucky does do a very good job to us athletes who, you know, they provide us a lot of monetary funds on my end. So I've never like really struggled with that. But I think this does open up a lot of doors to just all college athletes in general who may not get paid as good as a Kentucky may pay. So I think that it was very important that the NIL, you know, has passed because it's been amazing. And like I said, a lot of schools don't really provide a lot of college athletes like with the amount of funds that Kentucky may provide for us. So it definitely opens up a lot of doors.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people out there. I mean, obviously, people who are really into college athletics may understand this, but I think the mainstream folks don't understand that just because you're a college athlete, A, doesn't mean you're on scholarship.
Right.
And B, some people who are on scholarships aren't on full scholarships. They may just have tuition paid for, but you got to figure everything else out. So it can become a real financial burden for some folks. So this really opens that up. Of course, social media opened up a few years ago, obviously, new opportunities for people who could create content online to make money doing so. That's kind of the whole point of social media, is democratizing publishing. But not for the student athlete. I think you spent your first 2 years as a college athlete not being able to break that mold of amateurism, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never really got into the social media piece, like, because of, you know, I never knew the NIL was coming. It's just something that I love to do. And, I mean, it clearly has paid off because it was just something that I love to do. And now I'm getting, you know, a lot of accolades and a lot of opportunities that have come my way because of it. But, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I just kind of did it. And now it's like I'm starting to reap the benefits of, like, all the work that I kind of put into it, not even knowing it was work all along towards like this amazing opportunity that the NIL has like opened up.
So for the NCAA athletes, it opened up a couple of months ago. This is the first real semester that you've been able to do this. I wonder how long ago or when did you learn that this might be coming? Did you have an opportunity to kind of build up some momentum, or are we still just, hey, I just turned it on a few weeks ago and seen what happens?
Yeah, no. So I have always kind of like received like emails about like people trying to sponsor me, people trying to do things with me, but I was all, like, I never responded to them. And then when I did start to respond to them, like, I would be like, I'm under the NCAA, like, come back once I'm done. Like, because, you know, we couldn't accept money. We couldn't do the things that the NIL has, like, you know, gave us availability to do. But now, I mean, it's like I said, it's just been amazing because I never even noticed that all the work that I was putting in this whole time, like, opened up so many doors for me now. And it just shows, like, when you're consistent and when you love, like, something that you do, not for the money, like, it's just gonna come. So it's just been really great.
So for those out there who don't know anything about this, and there's a lot of people who don't, obviously, because it's so new, at least in your experience, help us understand how the NIL partnerships work. Do the brands reach out to you directly? Do they have to go through the school in some way? Where do those opportunities come from?
So for me personally, a lot of the brands hit me up through like email. I think since I have, of course, my email attached to my Instagram account, a lot of them hit me up through email or text or a DM on Instagram. They tell me exactly what they're looking for. If the price is right, we, you know, negotiate the contract on both ends and making sure that, you know, a contract is supposed to be that so that two people are happy, you know? So do that. And then pretty much just come to the right number, making sure that like none of the companies and stuff are using like my brand and my image and my likeness perpetually or in perpetuity, like forever, if I'm not going to receive the royalties for that. And then they just, let me know whatever deliverables they want. And I, you know, post the content and it is just a partnership, but I'm really trying to look for like ambassadorships rather than partnerships, because the partnerships is like, okay, post two or three things and we're done. You get paid. Like for me, I really want to build an empire and like a brand and a legacy, like for who Masai is. Like, I'm like, when I get older, like, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be posting two, three things and then getting $5,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to get like a long-term partnership with a big brand that, you know, will have me well off. And then somehow I can capitalize off of, you know, my own brand and then make, you know, my own, hopefully one day own clothing line. So then I'm reaching out to people to, you know, offer them partnerships and deals and things like that.
Well, it's certainly smart to kind of think of this as more of a long-term play to make sure that, you know, you're building something for the long term. I wonder if you think about your fellow student athletes, maybe, you know, your teammates on the track and field team, or maybe other student athletes at UK or other friends that you know from around the world of college athletics. Is it a concern, do you think, that some folks out there might be in this for the cash grab and not thinking of it as a long-term thing, not thinking of it in terms of a brand, but thinking of it in terms of this is just a way to make money? And have you had conversations with people about that?
Yeah, actually, a couple of my friends, like, they were like, let me try to get my social media followers up so that I can make money. Let me, like, do this so I can make money. So it's like, I see where they're going because, yeah, it does seem like it's easy to just make money. But in long term, it's like, like you got to think bigger than that, kind of. Like, it's like, yeah, it does sound cool. Okay, if I get my followers up, then this company will give me this amount of money. But I mean, I'm not pocket watching them. If that's what they want to do with their money, that's what they want to do. But I know what I want to do with my money, and I want to invest. I want to, like I said, build an empire. I want everyone to know who Masai Russell is and my story. And I mean, I feel like my mom and I and my dad were like doing it the right way rather than just getting the money, posting, and then like, okay, bye. Like a lot, like for Champs, it, like it, for example, like we like, we're talking to like, I did a partnership with Champs in East Bay. So we're like, okay, possibly I can get some type of long-term ambassadorship with them so that, you know, you could be seeing me on a billboard one day rather than just one Instagram post and that's it, you know?
Yeah, that's good stuff. Now, I think I know the answer to this, but I want to ask it anyway, because maybe I don't. I don't want to assume anything here. So you're a track and field star, and I do mean star. I mean, I think the count now is 4 first team All-America teams and 1 second team All-America placement in your 3 years at UK. But there's a difference in the audience you might garner as a track athlete and what, say, a football or a men's basketball athlete might attract. I know there's lots of reasons for that, some fair and some not. But thinking about that disparity, do you approach your social media content as a student athlete talking to sports fans or as an online influencer talking to social media followers, or is there a difference?
I kind of see me just connecting to whoever – just to whoever I can inspire. I don't think I reach just like, I don't focus on just reaching one, you know, one group. I focus on whoever loves me and whoever loves my content. Then that's just to whoever goes out to, because I've inspired little kids and I've like talked to adults like that are way older than me. And they're like, you inspire me. So it's just really a blessing and it's amazing to see like the impact that I have on just the content that I post and not even people really meeting me for me, you know, like people are just, you know, have this assumption of me in their head and then they're like, you inspire me just through my pictures, just through like a 5 second clip. I'm like, wow, you haven't even really met me. So it's really cool. And I just want to, like I said, I want to reach everybody. I want to be able to reach people in different countries, people like any ages. I feel like I can inspire anyone. You just have to really talk to me, meet me, and then you might just jump on my Instagram and then you just might love me.
I wonder in the, and you've touched on this a little bit, you know, you talked about the Champs example and maybe you might wind up on a billboard. Have you thought about this as a potential avenue to like full-time employment? Like if you are a brand ambassador for Champs for 3 or 4 years, it could be that they're like, hey, we want to bring you onto our marketing team. Right. Has that entered the mindset yet?
Definitely it has. But it's crazy because Of course, I want to use like these other brands to, you know, grow my name, grow my image, grow my likeness. But like I said, I would really like to come out with like my own so that I can capitalize off that. Like, I'm like, if I'm modeling for another company, why can't I be modeling for my own company? That's how I'm thinking about it. So it definitely for like 2-3 years is cool. But then like I said, like when I really get older and trying to make longevity and have, you know, I really think that that's the way I want to go.
Well, and we're seeing more and more examples, not necessarily of student athletes, but of online influencers, people who are Instagrammers, YouTubers or whatnot, who have built up a considerable audience and then launching their own products. Some of them have launched them into crickets and nobody buys them. And some of them figure it out and launch very successful products. So it's a good stepping stone. I wonder how many other student athletes do you think out there are looking at it that way in terms of that short-term cash play? And I realize I'm kind of asking the same question I asked a minute ago, but my biggest concern being a former college athletics administrator is I worry about the kids who are looking at this in terms of 6 months or 12 months and not 6 years and 12 years and 20 years.
I mean, I think it's easy to think like that. Like, yeah, the law just passed, bet I'm about to make some money quick. Ooh, fun. But I don't think that there's a lot of athletes thinking the way I'm thinking, because my mom is a business owner. So I feel like she has just led me in the right direction, as in like opening up a business account, making my name an LLC. But I'm pretty sure a lot of the people, a lot of the athletes who've had this opportunity are not going about it the way I'm going about it. I'm pretty sure, because I have some friends and I've talked to some people and they're like, a business account, like when on their W-9, they're putting their social security number, not their, you know, tax ID number. It's just little things like that I know my mom is going to of course, have my back 110% of the way. And then, like, I just feel like I'm just doing it in a different way. Like, I'm doing it in a way, like I said, to build my name, build my image and likeness even more. I kind of want to be like, I don't want to say like the next Kardashians because, like, but I want to be that big. It's just like, if you really look at it, like, I want to say, who are the Kardashians? But what did they do to get to where they are? They're beautiful women. They capitalize off their image and likeness, and they never let anyone take a, you know, exploit them. They started everything on their own, and look at them now, billionaires. Like, who are they? They're not, they never ran track. They're dead. You know, that can only take you so far. And they're all billionaires, or millionaires, and a few billionaires. But I want to be like that, like capitalizing off of where I'm at and capitalizing off the NIL and, you know, just building it and making it an empire.
You know, it's easy for people in the marketing world and in my world to make fun of the Kardashians. But when you look at them from that perspective as an inspiration to young entrepreneurs, that's a different way of looking at them. It's an interesting, refreshing way to look at it. So my guess is that life after college may include some track and field. Are we talking to a future Olympian here?
Probably. No, I'm not going to say probably. It is. Yes, you are talking to a future Olympian. Stevie at 3 years. You know, Olympic trials this year. I was very tired from such a long collegiate season. But my coach already told me that we already have a lot of plans, steps in place to, you know, make sure that I can still produce after the NCAAs. But that's the goal. That's the plan. And professional track and field is definitely in my future for sure.
Masai, a fair amount of brands and agency people listen to this show. So if someone wants to get in touch with you for a partnership, where do they go? Who do they talk to, and where can people find you online?
So online, you can find me at Masai Russell. Like, if you just look me up on Google, you'll pretty much find me. And then the main place where you can find me to connect back to you is through Instagram. Like I said, my email is in my bio. And I don't have my number in there because as soon as I put my number in there, a lot of fans started texting me, stuff like that. So definitely through email, I always respond. Or if I don't respond, I forward it to my mom and she responds for me. She's my manager. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, we'll make sure that the links to your social profiles and whatnot are in the show notes as well. And it goes without saying, good luck this year. I'm rooting for 3 or 4 more first team All-America spots for you. And I'm going to say this in my best Pikeville, Kentucky accent. Go Cats!
Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is presented by my book, Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. Get your copy online at winfluencebook.com. While you're there, sign up for the latest ideas about influence marketing delivered in my monthly newsletter, or book me to speak to your company or organization about influence marketing. If you or someone you know is an influencer, a brand manager that uses influence marketing, or one of the many amazing people working in the influence marketing services world, and they would make a good guest for the show, email me at jason@jasonfalls.com. Our theme music is One More Look by the K-Club and Grammy Award-winning producer Jaquire King. Thanks for listening, and remember, when it's not about the person, but about results, it's Winfluence.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe. This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.